I tell all dentists, don't keep a huge amount of resins around. I saw this one of my lectures, because I give some presentations every now and then. I saw this one case in one of the forums where somebody had literally 15 different Crown & Bridge resins that they kept in their office. And that was probably worth around $10,000 of just material that all goes bad really quickly. And I was horrified. I stock 010 bleach shade and A1 in my office, and that's it. I use one or two tooth molds for all my dentures, all my printed dentures. And I keep it extremely simple.
Welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. Joining us is a dentist who has earned the reputation as the denture guy in his community. He has embraced 3D printing for about 7 years now as a powerful tool in his practice, offering patients high-quality dentures with faster turnaround times. By taking a hybrid approach, depending on the case, he either prints dentures or sends it out to the lab. And for some patients, he makes two sets of dentures, one printed and one lab processed. He calls it the two-for-one. He gives his patients exactly what they're looking for, and at the same time, he keeps everything efficient and profitable. His ultimate goal is to give every patient the opportunity to have teeth that are functional and aesthetic. In this episode, we'll break it all down, exploring the clinical decision-making process, material considerations, and workflow efficiencies. Stay tuned for a down-to-earth discussion about the ever-evolving role of 3D printing in denture fabrication. Our guest is Dr. Russell Schaefer, a general dentist in New Orleans, Louisiana, who focuses on removable dentures and teaches other dentists how to design and print dentures in their office. Dr. Schaefer, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Dr. Klein. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so you're a general dentist in New Orleans, and you've been practicing for about 12 years now. Before we get into the printed denture, which a lot of our audience wants to hear about, tell us a little bit about your practice and how you got so keen on dentures.
So in 2013, when I left a dental school at LSU, I actually swore to myself I'd probably never make another denture again. I despised denture leaving dental school like most dentists. And the reason is because the prosthodontist taught me. It was just a miserable process. But then and I followed Dental Town and I saw Ryan McCall posting about it. And I said, man, this looks like a lot of fun. Worked for a couple of private practices, worked for DSO. And then in 2016, I started my own practice here down in New Orleans, NOLA Dentures and Dental Dentistry, with the idea of saying, you know what, I really want to make a darn good denture for my patients. Not a high-end, everyone's getting $5,000 an arch denture, but just a good, solid denture that patients can afford. Maybe let's say a Toyota Camry or Toyota Avalon, not a Mercedes-Benz, not a Tesla Cybertruck, but something that people can afford and be happy with. So
So
that's kind of the idea.
your practice in New Orleans, obviously there are the patient population demanded dentures, a lot of
That
them.
was that's what I wanted to do. Right now my practice is probably 33, it probably actually looked at my numbers last year. It's 35% of my numbers comes from the 5,000 codes, the removable process codes. So I'm doing a lot of dentures, probably more than most dentists do.
So it's interesting because, for someone who despised dentures in dental school, now you're really market yourself. You differentiated your practice as a denture practice.
From the get-go, marketing myself as the denture expert. And it was a bit of a trial by fire, honestly, for the first year or so. When you kind of say, oh yeah, I'm the denture guy here, even though I wasn't. But I really learned a lot about dentures just by following my lab tech, honestly. I worked at the denture lab tech out of Memphis, and that really helped me more than anything else, I feel. And so I guess but I find that really with patients, if you just kind of listen to them, you just sit down and say, hey, what do you want here? Let's make you happy. I want you to be able to feel like you're chewing. I want to make you feel like you love your smile again. Because a lot of these patients have hated their smile for years.
And I assume for many of these patients, Dr. Schaefer, financial constraints precluded them from getting fixed prosthodontic treatment.
Most of these patients, honestly, usually come to me saying having hated the dentist for years. I mean, they don't have the money for that.
So for many of these patients, dentures or removable was the only solution, and you provided them with a service. And I'm sure many of them are very happy that they have teeth now and they have a smile they can be proud of. But then you made a transition from the laboratory. You're still using the laboratory for your conventional process dentures, but now you got into 3D printing, which you find to be very efficient and profitable, and it serves your dental community very well. Tell us about that.
That really started. I remember when seeing it back in 2018 from Corey Glenn, when he said, "Look, you can print a 3D denture," and I said, "My goodness, that would save my butt a lot for immediates," because immediates are really where the 3D dentures make the most sense for dentists. Immediate denture pretty much is where you take all the teeth out and you put something in that same day. And I love them. I recommend them for all dentists because if you do immediates at all, printing makes so much sense because it's a high margin procedure, but also where, if you make a mistake with the printed denture, you just make another one, and that's easy to do. But also these patients kind of come to you saying, look, they're kind of finally ready to make the leap of faith. And I find them when I tell a patient, look, we can take all your teeth out next week and have your denture. They're like, oh, thank goodness. Like they're ready to kind of commit to treatment.
So you started off, Dr. Schaefer, as a fee-for-service practice and transitioned into insurance. And this transition made 3D printing very attractive. Tell us about that.
My practice kind of morphed from a fee-for-service practice to more of a Medicaid PPO practice over time. I'm one of the few doctors that said fee-for-service just didn't take to me. And when I dropped fee-for-service and went PPO / Medicaid, I actually did a lot better for myself. And as I started taking Medicaid, I couldn't do the high-end denters anymore. That used to be, my immediates were only printed, and my finals were all lab sets.
So, how do you bill for the 3D printed denture? Is it considered a final denture for the patient?
It is. It's under. It's a FDA. The FDA considers that a what's it called? It meets all the FDA requirements for a final prosthetic. So as long as you're following the correct workflows that the companies have set up, you're okay. That's the biggest thing.
So, when a dentist first starts 3D printing dentures, what's the easiest denture to print and the best way to start?
The easiest denture to print is the that's really the immediate denture. That's where I always tell everyone to start with. Where I see a lot of dentists wanting to do is they come on in, they talk to me and saying, hey, can we print out a denture that, they want to replace their entire lab. They say, I want to get rid of my entire lab. And I say, don't do that. You're going to drive yourself crazy. You're busy. Start with immediates. And the reason is, honestly, going back to it, there's so much more money on the table right there that if you make a mistake, you don't have a problem just redoing immediates. But when you redo a denture that you're making $1,000 on, that really starts to eat away at your profit margins. Maybe that's for some people that sounds ugly to say, but man, if when you redo a prosthetic, that really kills you and you don't want to redo it ever again.
Now,
So
are your patients finding these dentures comfortable? What's the feedback you're getting from the patients, generally speaking, from printed dentures?
what I find is this is that I often offer, I've offered my patients pretty much like, I'll show them because I still even to get some fee for service patients, but I have a printed option, I have a fee for service option, and they can definitely see the difference in the hand, what the difference between the lab made denture and a printed denture look in the hand. The lab made denture does look prettier. It is a difference because I don't spend a lot of time like some dentists do customizing my printed dentures. It just would take too long. But my patients that get the printed dentures are happy with them, honestly. They say these fit good, they're happy with them, and I don't get a lot of people saying, oh, I regret making this choice. They look good, they feel comfortable.
Yeah,
I've been very happy with it.
so I'm going to refer to an article that was published in the International Journal of Prosthodontics, and this was done in February of 2024 by a doctor named Brian Goodacre. And basically, he looked at all the research on 3D printing of complete dentures, and here's what he wrote. And then I just want to know if does this align with what you're seeing in your practice? So he says, and I quote, "While the ideal printed denture material does not currently exist, based on the published research, printed dentures have material strength that meets ISO standards with denture base adaptations similar to conventionally processed dentures." And then he goes on to say, "Clinically, it is likely that printed dentures will have more challenges with fractures, color stability, and staining. However, printed dentures offer many benefits, and the current limitations will be addressed as new materials are developed. We are currently at the beginning of what is an exciting future for printed dentures," unquote. What are your thoughts on that?
I completely agree. I think the biggest issue I have, honestly, is with them fracturing. I do get more. I don't have a lot of fractures with them, but I probably get. I've done hundreds of printed dentures. Probably I get one every other month that comes in to be fractured.
What are we talking about percentage-wise?
Right now, right now, I'm actually after I get off the podcast with you, I'm actually remaking one tomorrow. I'd probably say in my hands right now. Trying to count, I was if I say one a quarter and I do 4 a week, that would be I'd say. Well, I'm gonna give you 5% probably for the ones that don't come back to me.
Right. So one out of 20 that you know of fracture.
Right,
And how
that'd be
long
my.
does what period of time goes by between the time you deliver the printed denture and until they come back with the denture fractured?
See, I think that re well, what's going on really for a lot of these cases, it's not so much that, it's more of what's the physics of it. Because all these cases have really been ones that have been, I'm really pushing the limits of the material. They've all been ones where it's been an upper arch denture against a premolar to premolar on the bottom, where I've not had a molar support and I've had like no VDO. So I've had no room for prosthetic space. And what I've had to do in all these cases so far, I mean, I'm a man who's, I've always done the printed base with printed teeth. And so what I think we're going to have to start doing is having more rules around when do you print these all as one piece dentures more monolithically and start staining them. I've always been, I've never been very good at staining myself. So I've had to kind of start teaching myself on it versus when do we go to something that's a little easier to do, which is where you print out two pieces, which I find to be much easier to do clinic or much easier to do in lab side. So I think that's what's really been going on with it. It just depends on what comes through my door.
So what's really actually fracturing? Where is the fracture taking place?
The fracture is happening pretty much almost right down the palate, right down the center of the palate. And yeah, that's what's breaking on me.
And when you see that patient before you know that it's going to fracture, are you kind of inclined to think, okay, this case, this patient may be coming back to me at some point with a fractured denture rather soon? Are you pretty much attuned to what you think could be a failure?
It's becoming more that way, honestly. As I've kind of entered my seventh year of printing dentures right now, I've kind of finally started saying, okay, this is when they're going to start fracturing on me, especially if I'm more aggressive with it. Because it used to be one of those things that these patients, I say, you need to get a lab denture. But now as I'm really, as you kind of start learning how to push the boundaries of it, probably in the last 2 years, I've really started pushing the boundaries of when you can do printed dentures and not.
Going forward, what do you do now when you see those cases where it kind of looks like it's one of those cases where you're pushing it too far? Do you go to a conventionally processed denture in those cases?
Oh, no. I go to a conventionally processed denture a lot, honestly. I think that conventionally processed dentures still have a large place in our dentistry. It's kind of like how PFMs for bridges still make a lot of sense, even though zirconia still definitely take over the market. You know, we'll still have a need for gold. We'll still have a need for PFMs just because it's darn good materials. And yeah,
I just had a full gold crown put on. I'm still a fan of gold. Yeah. You're absolutely right. So what are your guidelines, generally speaking, that a dentist could go by or at least think about and keep top of mind when you decide between a lab and a printed denture?
My guideline, honestly, is aesthetics. What's the aesthetic demand of the patients? I tell all dentists, don't keep a huge amount of resins around. I saw this one of my lectures, because I give some presentations every now and then. I saw this one case in one of the forums where somebody had literally 15 different crown and bridge resins that they kept in their office. And that was probably worth around $10,000 of just material that all goes bad really quickly. And I was horrified. I stock 010 bleach shade and A1 in my office. And that's it. I use one or two tooth molds for all my dentures, all my printed dentures. And I keep it extremely simple. If a patient comes in needing, demanding high aesthetics, they go to my lab. It's kind of like how if a patient comes in needing veneers, if a dentist has a CEREC, but a patient comes in needing veneers, not many dentists are going to do veneers on CEREC unless they're really darn good at the CEREC machine or they really hate themselves. That's kind of how I look at with my 3D printing. I don't do high aesthetic cases with our printer. But I'm from New Orleans. If I got an old guy who's like saying, I just want some teeth, great. Who doesn't show his smile on, just some teeth, great. I'm going to do that all day long. If I got my 65-year-old socialite who wants A3 and a little bit of, she's like, I want something that looks natural and I want a little tinting and whatnot. I'm like, oh yeah, you're going to see Tim Lane.
So how close do you think we are to the point where we'll be able to print 3D dentures where it rivals conventional process dentures?
Actually, I went to a lab over the weekend, Spectrum Killium, over in Santa Ana, California, where they've actually stopped milling dentures completely. They're completely doing Lucitone 199 printing. And I don't use Lucitone myself. I use Pactent and Voco. I like the Voco brand. They look beautiful. Honestly, I've had a lot of success with them. They're easy to print. And they're easy to print, honestly, which is nice. And they're not too expensive, which is nice in our world. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of success with them. And it's nice not having to use nitrogen curing.
If you would, Dr. Schaefer, just tell us what nitrogen curing is.
When you throw it in your curing unit, sometimes you need to put a whole bunch of like 99% nitrogen into the tank to cure it right. I don't think with the curing you need nitrogen to make it right. I don't use it. And I've had no problems with it, but I'll have to double check on. You'll have to double check the rules with it
on the Voco product.
On the Voco products, yeah. But no, anyway.
Yeah. What's nice about the company Voco, they're constantly coming out with more and more advanced materials. So their goal is to probably get to that level where their printed denture is comparable to a conventionally processed denture. And we are getting closer. And we heard that from the author of that article that compiled research from the last 5 years on 3D printing. It's pretty clear where we're going with this. So if you were giving advice to a dentist, let's say the dentist is fee for service for now, I assume the primary reason for using a 3D printer for dentures is the immediate denture. And also tell us the best way to get started as far as being knowledgeable on how to do this properly.
It would definitely be for me, a dentist, to get started there. If you really want to learn how to do this right, if you said, look, I really want to learn this process, I recommend doing a buy one, get one free denture for all of your dentures as well. That way, you know, that's what I do for all my fee-for-service dentures. That way I get to compare myself against my lab tech. I work with a lab tech who's 72 years old. He's been doing this stuff for 50 years, so he's better than I am. I'm more than willing to admit that. But, you know, that way you get to kind of follow along the whole process. And you literally, on the day of trying, you get to give the patient a free set of dentures.
Okay, so when you do a buy one, get one free, they're getting the 3D printed denture for free.
That's exactly it.
And they're getting, and yet they're paying for the lab. What does it cost you to make a 3D printed denture?
It cost me, so I use Blue Sky. I like, even though I have Exocad, I still use Blue Sky Plan a lot, just because I think it's a wonderful program and I teach it. But I like it just because it cost me, let's say, probably $50 maybe for a set.
Including including the materials.
And exports that Blue Sky Plan charges.
Right. And what about the labor in your office to finish the denture once it's printed?
I do it all myself because I hate myself. I do it all myself. But I mean, it takes me maybe an hour to do it, but I enjoy the whole process.
Right. But that hour is expensive for a dentist to spend an hour on lab work.
It is. It is. But I enjoy doing my own lab work because I find it makes me a better dentist overall. You know, when you got to take your own impressions, you got to look at your own darn impressions. That is expensive.
So what's the clinical process? Run us through it. You don't have to go over every detail.
Yeah.
So the patient comes in, they've got eight teeth left in their mouth, and you agree with the patient, these need to come out. What's the process of after you extract them?
So everything is all, dentures are all three things, fit, bite, then smile. You first get a good fit on them. Usually I'll take some alternates. Honestly, I'll scan them up with my metascanners. You get a bite room of some sort. I'm actually pretty excited. My friend Corey Glenn's got some pretty cool trays that come on the market next week that we can, you can reline, pretty much took some Massad-esque trays, put some teeth on, denture teeth on them, dip some hot water. You almost reline them like Massad trays would. And you can take a bite room with them at the same appointment if you wanted to. By the way, you make some bite rooms myself. I make bite rooms myself all the time. So that always still work really well. The techniques work really well, honestly.
So when the patient comes in and you treatment plan to have Lil's eight teeth removed,
yeah.
You do, let's say you plan to have the patient back in a week to do the extraction and the immediate. What do you do that first visit when you first treat them?
Sorry, I apologize.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I'll do is, you know, just scan them. If we're taking out teeth next week, scan them all as needed, take a bite, and that's it, honestly. Keep it really simple. If I want to open the VDO, sometimes I'll stick some tongue depressors in there to open them up by however how much I need to open them up, maybe a half a tooth length or a tooth length. Just keep it very simple, you know, or a leaf gauge if you're really fancy. And that's about it. Scan them, take out the teeth and digitally.
So you take out the teeth digitally before they come in for their extraction.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Make the dentures up, follow them, whatever process you want to do, and then take out the teeth and put the darn things in.
And what do you need to do as far as adjustment once that 3D printed denture's placed in there right after the extraction? Is there any relining, soft reline or anything like that?
I got to say, I don't do any soft reline at all, honestly. I've not had any soft relines. Just because, you know, the biggest one we've had recently with printed dentures, there's not many really good products on the market. Pac Dentin that has one for soft relines that actually sticks now to printed dentures. That works really good. They came out like 6 months ago or so. But yeah.
Okay, so when you extract those teeth digitally, you already have that denture ready for them the next time they come in. You haven't taken the teeth out yet.
Yeah, and it fits really well. It fits phenomenally.
What about the healing of the extraction sites? What do you do with that?
So usually what I do, especially if they're paying me fee for service, they come back to see me in a month and I'll make them a free denture. And I despise the word game changer because everyone uses that in dentistry, but that's been phenomenal for my office because then I don't do relines anymore. And I find that they heal about 50% in a month. And especially if someone's paying me for a lot of extractions and they pay me, you know, a fee for service fee for a permanent denture, come back in a month, I'll make you another one for free.
Okay, so the tissue has now healed, and that's about a month post-extraction. You make a new 3D printed denture based on the new the new tissue that's healed.
Exactly. I got a woman that took all of her teeth out and I made her a voco printed denture, and she's coming back to see me next week or so. And of course it doesn't fit right now at all. She's not happy because everything's just literally, she got 28 teeth on her. Next week she'll come back to see me and it's just like working a whole new arch. She said 1 month of healing.
Post extraction.
Exactly.
And then you make her another 3D denture, and that she's saying the one that she has now, the immediate denture, it served a purpose, but it wasn't comfortable.
Right. No, it's been 30 days and we've taken out so many teeth that nothing fits anymore. And rather than trying to like reline her and whatnot, which relines work great, but with printed dentures, there's no more need for them. They're so easy to make and they're so low cost. Just make her a new one. Why have her suffer for 5 more months when I can just make her a new one? Because she's already paying me $9,000. Let's make her another one. It cost me $50.
What's the $9,000 cover?
That was 28 extractions and 2 dentures. I mean, she gave me a lot of money.
Yeah.
Let's make her happy. Right. I mean, that's a lot of money for anyone. She'll get her second healing dentures, I call it. In 5 months, we'll do a lab set of dentures. And that's what she's excited about. So she says, great, I'll get another set in a month that's going to fit a lot better. And then in 5 months, and after 6 months of healing, I'll get a beautiful set. You know, I'll get the Porsche of dentures.
Right. And then for those patients that are on Medicaid or do not have the financial resources as the patient you just described, once the tissue is fully healed, you can print them another one.
Exactly.
So for those patients that are going with 3D printed dentures on an ongoing basis and they get them replaced when they need to, what do you charge for that?
I'm charging $1,425 an arch for printed dentures for fee-for-service. Louisiana Medicaid pays me $878 for printed denture. I charge around $2,500 for a conventional denture. Those are higher fees for Louisiana, but I'm a denture guy. So
yeah, you transformed into a denture guy, Dr. Schaefer. Yeah. You know, I've heard that before from dentists. They tell me that they literally hated dentures when they were in dental school, partly because of the teacher, the professor. They just, whatever reason. I remember, you know, removable prosthodontics in dental school. I went to Penn Dental School. It was kind of brutal, you know, working with all the different steps. It was just never ending, capturing all the impression of the soft tissue way back behind the denture. I don't even know what those terms are. I'm an endodontist, so.
I think
I try to forget that almost immediately after I got out of dental school, just like you. But you turned into a denture guy, so that's the amazing part of the story here.
My endodontists feel the exact same way, because every now and then, if I ever can do the overdentures, the root tip overdentures, I do it, because it's a phenomenal service still. I've got a couple of patients out there that it still works really well. But the prosthodontists I like are the ones who focus on removal. And I feel like the prosthodontists that just focus on removal have a little better sense of humor than all the other prosthodontists, because you got to do this darn profession, because you realize you're not in control. And I think that's what most dentists hate about dentures. You're not in control of the process, the patient is.
Why do you say that?
Because the patient's in control of the whole darn thing. You know, I think in everything else, crown margins, we can see our crown margins, we can see how the occlusion is, but there's a little bit of voodoo that goes on. And I think that's why I probably would never like root canals, honestly, because I don't do any root canals at all. There's too much voodoo that goes on with it, when you're like, I don't know why the heck this isn't healing. That's why I like my endodontist.
Yeah. I'll tell you, as an endodontist, the success rate of endodontics, I don't know, this is a whole nother topic, but
yeah,
that's
yeah.
not what this podcast is about. But yeah. The success rate of an endodontist work is you know, high 90s, 96, 97%.
Oh,
so, yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I loved about endo was that we did have a lot of control over the case. You know, put that tooth under a rubber dam and go to work.
And the success rate of lower dentures is 0%, which is phenomenal, because I can never get sued for a bad lower denture, which is why I love it.
What was that? You never get sued for a bad...
I can never get sued for dentures. Like, if anyone says, I'm going to take you to the state board if you don't give me back my money for a denture, I'm like, good luck.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Never thought about that. Yeah. We don't want to get sued by the state board. I've done lots of podcasts on doctors getting... But it's usually related to a disgruntled employee or a patient that doesn't want to pay their bill. And mm-hmm. they retaliate against the office due to infection control violations and stuff like that. So you got to keep that in mind. Before we wrap it up, I do want to point this one thing out, and I've talked to many KOLs about this, is that dentists need to differentiate themselves. Some dentists are focusing on airway dentistry. It could be whitening. It could be aligner therapy. Some focus on implants. Whatever it is, it's important to differentiate yourself. And you differentiated yourself as the denture guy, and you have a solution for fee-for-service patients. You have a solution for patients that don't have the resources to pay for it. And That's good. And as the materials improve, the printed dentures are going to get closer and closer to lab dentures. I assume aesthetically too, for sure on the strength side, as far as the material. But right now, according to the research, a printed denture meets ISO standards, like I mentioned, with the denture-based adaptation similar to lab dentures, which is very, very important. So it's only going to get better. But I think it's fantastic that you differentiated yourself. You became known as the denture guy, and the patients, you know, spread the word, and that's how you build your practice. And you seem to be pretty satisfied with the way things are going.
Oh, I love it. Honestly, I love dentures. There's nothing that brings me more joy in the morning than seeing lower dentures on schedule. It's a fun day.
You found your calling, Dr. Schaefer. Pleasure to have you on. Definitely a refreshing conversation as far as your perspective on printed dentures. And we look forward to having you on future podcasts as the materials advance. God knows what you'll be doing over there. We appreciate it.
I always appreciate it, Dr. Klein. Thank you so much. Great to meet you.
Thank you.